from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome into another MLS Six Pack with myself, Jessica Charman, and Jason Longshore. It may be the MLS break, but as we know, that means nothing. It's time for the League's Cup. We're underway, and so far, Jason Longshore, MLS has been dominant. 7 out of the 8 in the group stage openers were victories for Major League Soccer. Atlas, the only winner for Liga MX side with a 1-0 narrow win over Houston. This was the year that Liga MX said they were going to take League's Cup seriously after some real disappointments last year, an all MLS final, of course, and not many Liga MX sides progressing to the depth they expected. What's gone wrong for Liga MX? And will they admit that right now MLS is catching up?
They're never going to admit that. Just give up on that. That's never going to get admitted by Liga MX. And look, that's okay. Like, I think you look at the All-Star game result, you look at League's Cup, you look at the players moving back and forth. You know, we've seen Yorgos Yakimakis move from Atlanta to Cruz Azul. I think what you're seeing is two leagues that are very comparable right now. And you have clubs across both leagues that some are very good. Some are, you know, middle kind of table teams, and some are on the lower end. And it's like any normal comparison between two leagues. I don't think there's a gap anymore. I think when you look at CONCACAF Champions Cup and how MLS clubs do there, the calendar does come into play a little bit, although it's better than it used to be. It still comes into play. League's Cup, it doesn't. You know, the Mexican clubs are 4 weeks in. They've played 4 games in their Apertura. So they're not quite in mid-season form like MLS, but in a little bit better position than MLS clubs are in CONCACAF competition. And I think what you're seeing right now, and, you know, this is a group of matchups. And if you're taking the best of the best against the best of the best, then the middle, best of the middle against the best of the middle, and the best of the bottom against the best of the bottom, maybe we'd get a better true comparison. But right now, so far in its competition, MLS is in a good spot. I think what's good is that Liga MX is going to take this very seriously and is going to make for a better competition in the coming years. When they're coming to MLS and they all work together on this tournament, when they come to the table this year and they say, we need to make some rule changes so it's more fair, it's more equitable. Well, that's because they want to win. And that's a good thing. And that's what's going to make this competition a fun one to watch.
And it's important to do that, right? Because we already know that there's some issues with League's Cup coming from fans, several supporters groups boycotting Open Cup. We know that that's a great tournament as well. So putting the League's Cup product out there as a product that people want to devour is a really important thing. And the games have been exciting so far. I would say that from the ones that I've watched, the fact it's soccer every single night, we're able to restore our blues from the end of Copa and the Euros with soccer to consume every single night is a great thing. But right now, Major League Soccer has the lead. Something they didn't have the lead, though, in Jason, was the All-Star Game. The last time we did MLS six-pack, it was revolving a lot around the All-Star Game, a 4-1 final result in favor of Liga MX. What were your feelings on that game? Obviously, it's an All-Star Game. You can't look too deep into it. But again, it shows Liga MX players were taking that game very, very seriously, and they wanted to represent their league highly and did a good job in it.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, that's what the All-Star Game is, and I like having the All-Star Game as a kickoff to competitive games like League's Cup. So it's hard to take too much out of collections of players. I think the selection processes are different too. So when you look at, are you building a team that is structured around playing a certain way, or are you rewarding players for good seasons or good last seasons and what have you? All-star games aren't necessarily going to give you the best level of competition. This one was fun, though. It was entertaining. I think you saw two sets of teams that were really up for it in front of a good crowd in Columbus. I do hate the notion that when we talk about League's Cup, if you are positive about League's Cup, that means you're negative about the Open Cup. And that's not true. And that's not how any of this works. You know, it's, you can do both. In England, for example, you have the FA Cup and you have the League Cup, and lower division teams have other competitions as well. Like, it's okay to have multiple competitions. You need to have both, in my opinion. The rules need to change for the Open Cup, so MLS teams have options in how they handle it, especially in the earlier rounds. This really comes down to the collective bargaining agreement with the MLS Players Association. There are limitations in how many games non-MLS rostered players can play. And that shouldn't be the case when we're talking about the Open Cup. I think the MLSPA and MLS need to sit down and kind of work through this and involve MLS Next Pro in the conversation. Because in my opinion, if you're on a Next Pro contract with a club, then you should be able to move up and down with more flexibility. Not unlimited. You know, you can't have a guy on a reserve contract play 34 games in MLS. No, that's not what I'm saying. But in the Open Cup, yeah, they should be able to play more
and
games.
And probably, Jason, more flexibility on the age in those Open Cup games of the movement
100%.
As well.
Yeah, both.
Because I think one
both.
Of the biggest things we see with the structure is not just the limit of the games, but it's also the age that they're eligible to come up. And that just strikes it as being very difficult for those older players that are on the cusp but will never get that opportunity to step up and see if they can make the jump because of their age and the fact that they just maybe have gone to college for longer. So then once they're out of college, they're not in that right age group or they've come across the pond later on in their careers.
Yeah, the age part needs to be wiped away from it entirely, in my opinion. If you have a player who is still a contributor at your club at 30 years old and they're playing in the second team and they're a mentor to the younger players coming through, and you get into an Open Cup situation where, yeah, you're coming off a CONCACAF, you're playing in the league, you've got some injuries, you got to rest some guys for an Open Cup game against an amateur team in the first round, then yeah, you need to be able to turn to those players. That's why you have a thriving club. We're past the idea of it being a team. It's a club. You have multiple teams in it. I get the college eligibility issue when we're talking about academy players who are not professionally contracted. Mm-hmm. I wish that wasn't the case, but it is. That's a relationship issue with the NCAA, although all that's changing so fast that who knows, maybe that's different by the time we get to the next tournament as well. It needs to be an opportunity for MLS teams to play in multiple competitions. That gives more players opportunities to play and grow, and you get these two different competitions that are both very good. The Open Cup that U.S. Soccer organizes needs to be run better across the board. We had a game here in the state of Georgia this year that didn't happen in the first round because a team wasn't ready to compete and a game was forfeited. That's not what we want to see in a National Cup competition, but it is not an either or. It is not an either or between the Open Cup and the League's Cup. And I hate that that's been the narrative. And frankly, it's very frustrating for me as somebody who has been involved in the Open mm-hmm. Cup, helped work with teams to get them qualified in the Open Cup, going through the local regional qualification processes. A lot of people who are complaining and saying that, oh, well, you'd have to support the Open Cup more. I haven't seen them support the Open Cup in the past. This can't just be an opportunity to take a
bandwagon
job.
It can't just be hopping on and caring about it now when you weren't there when the games were played in tiny stadiums or when you didn't pay attention or support those local small teams when they were still doing this.
Yeah, it's not even that for me because I'm all for people being late to the party and then joining the party. That's completely fine. I want that. But these are people who have said they're not going to support the League's Cup. In some cases, not all. This is a broad generalization. But I'm not seeing them support the Open Cup either in the numbers that it deserves. The Open Cup attendances show that. So that's got to change. And you can support all of it as much as you can, as much as you can buy tickets and spend your time doing this. You can have all of it. And we need to have all of it for the good of the game because League's Cup is a very important way forward for both leagues to grow. But so is the Open Cup. It's a very important part of the soccer ecosystem. It doesn't have to be either or. I love what this League's Cup has set up to be so far. And now that we're getting into the second games for a lot of teams, it's going to get really interesting in terms of that qualification for the knockouts. It's going to be a fun ride. Let's get into another potential fun ride when we're talking about Cucho Hernandez. He had a hat trick against Aston Villa in a friendly, but Taylor Twellman dropped a tweet after the game, and it sounds like Taylor might know something about something. He said 18 million plus offer may be coming soon for Cucho. What do Columbus do if so? ! What do Columbus do if so, Jess?
Panic would be the first step, I think, when you're losing a player like Cucho Hernandez. He's such an important player on this Columbus side in terms of goal contributions. 13 goals, 8 assists this season in Major League Soccer. And when you see these forward players that have almost double digits in both goals and assists, it tells you more about how important they are to a team because it's the goal contributions overall. You look at Cucho Hernandez, and I think he was recently awarded MLS Player of the Month for July, and that was because he'd done so well in terms of the goal contributions, providing either a game-winning goal or a game-winning assist in all three of Columbus Crew's victories during July. I mean... he is the guy that gets things done. It's not to say they don't have talent across the roster, but he's the catalyst of so much of Columbus Crew's success. He's the player they look like to galvanize. Obviously, there are a few rocky moments earlier on in the season. It's very clear that that's been ironed out. And Wilfried Nancy's getting the best out of Cucho. This is where I feel interesting about this, though, because I would be very, very interested to hear where Taylor Twellman is suggesting that this offer is coming from, because Colombian media is very clear that Cucho Hernandez moved to Major League Soccer partly because he wanted to be closer to home. When he was playing at Watford, when he was playing in England, as much as that probably would have gained him more respect, rightly or wrongly, from the Colombian national team because of the way that they perceive European soccer over Major League Soccer, he wasn't happy. It's a long journey. It's a difficult journey. You're far away from home. It's different culturally. There's far more people of Colombian descent in Columbus, in America, than there are in England. There's a lot more of a Latin population in general. And for me, I'd be interested to see where he wants to go, particularly with Cucho Hernandez on the cusp of the national team. I'm not saying he's in the bargains, but as the next generation of players perhaps move on, Cucho Hernandez has a potential for a Colombian national team spot. Where would he go in order to progress the career at that amount of money? And is it worth being further away from home? I'd be interested to see that.
Yeah, I don't know where that amount would be coming from. Would he want to go back to England? Would he feel like there's unfinished business with a different club? But would it be a better situation than he's in now or what he had previously? I'm not so sure of that. You know, I don't know if it would be at a French or Spanish or Italian club. Like, I could see him doing really well in those leagues in the right situation, but there's not a lot of clubs that are willing to spend that level of cash that would be the right fit. You know, we kind of went through this with Thiago Almada and Atlanta United, and you get past the $10 million range. When you get closer to that 20, the number of clubs who can spend it shrink, and the ones that it's going to be worth it to go to, especially in Cucho's case, where you're not going to to go develop. You're going to play, and you're
also you don't want to go and chase a paycheck at 25 years old. I know there's players that do, but Cucho Hernandez doesn't strike me as a person that wants to go to the Saudi league just to make a paycheck. That's not where he's going. It's not that kind of move. He's still 25. He still has big ambitions. We've seen players enter national teams far later in their careers than 25 years old. He's playing well. And also, here's the other part about the decision as well, if he decides to move. He is worshipped in Columbus. Just look at the scene as he entered the pitch in that MLS All-Star game, when he put the ball in the back of the net in the MLS All-Star game. He is the guy, the face of the Columbus crew in a lot of ways. It will be part of the decision he has to make if he's going to go to untested waters, take a gamble on his career. Am I going to fit it? Is it going to be as good of a fit? Am I going to be the talisman? Am I guaranteed minutes? It's a really interesting stepping stone for Cucho Hernandez's career, potentially. But hopefully he makes the right choice and the right fit, because you don't want to see him just drop off the radar and just go from, oh, well, I was a standout player, an odds-on all-star, an odds-on select for team of the year in Major League Soccer. Now I've disappeared in some random tier of European soccer.
Yeah, I don't think there's a club in this hemisphere, which would make more sense with what you said about wanting to be closer to home, that would be the right kind of fit. I mean, unless we're talking about one of the Grandes in Brazil, maybe that gets into that kind of a range. I don't think it could be a situation like a Club America in Mexico City, although they're going to be familiar with his work that he has done in Columbus, maybe, but it feels like those would be more likely than a move back to Europe. So I'm fascinated by it. Any which way, if Columbus wants to keep him, they're going to have to pay him a little bit more, I think, to keep him happy.
Now, Columbus is a team that's got some difficult decisions coming up. And DC United is a team that's had some very difficult media perceptions and has some difficult decisions regarding their field space. DC United have had to move their League's Cup match, their home League's Cup match, because they played away in Atlanta, to Philadelphia. Due to the stadium conditions, they were going to play Santos Laguna at home, and now they will be playing in Chester, Pennsylvania. The field wasn't good enough quality, whether it be renting it out for other sports, renting it out for concerts. Jason, this is a group that you play in, of course, Atlanta United. What do you make of this scenario? It's just rather embarrassing, surely.
Very embarrassing. And this is when we talked earlier about the Open Cup and having games canceled and how that's a bad look for that competition. This is a bad look for this competition. And I think more importantly, it's a bad look for DC United. If you saw the match, the U.S. Women's National Team send-off match from Audi Field, Lindsey Horan would not comment on the field. A couple others did. It was horrible. It looked really bad. And that's not completely abnormal for that venue. And it does get used a good bit. You know, the Washington Spirit play games there. We saw the UFL Spring Football League games there. There are concerts there. I think there was a concert there over the weekend. And I guess they thought they were going to flip the field to be able to play on Wednesday night after a concert with, things down on the field. And it was already in bad shape. It's something that really needs to change. And it's disappointing what Audi Field and all the promise that it had when it was built. You're coming off of RFK Stadium, which had a lot of character. Sometimes we use character to describe stadiums that are old and beat up. In this case, it had both. It had real character, but it also had that kind of character too. So you get something new and it's like, okay, wow, this is going to be amazing. They didn't do a good job with it. Whether we're talking about construction issues that affected the opening night with people being injured, whether we're talking about the quality of the field, some of the amenities, it's disappointing that this stadium is still very young and it's already having these kinds of issues. From an Atlanta United perspective, hey, it's good. One of the teams in your group lost a home game. So it makes things a little easier to deal with in terms of that, but it does create a very interesting atmosphere on Wednesday night when we see Santos Laguna and DC United in Chester, PA.
And also, Jason, like the crowd on a week, what kind of crowd is that going to pull? And again, that's another
completely
thing that
Santos
doesn't
Laguna. It doesn't look good
for Liga MX, for Leagues Cup either, though, to have potentially a rather empty stadium, if you're realistic.
It might be decent. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head what that crowd will look like for a Mexican team. Now, Santos isn't one of the grandes in Mexico, mm-hmm. but, you know, will you get a good Mexican support there for that game? Because you're not going to get a whole lot of DC United fans, although, you know, your DC United fans in Virginia and spread further away from Washington, DC, maybe that's an easier trip for them. I'll be curious to see, but it's not ideal. It's a bad look, and it's something that is very disappointing that this continues to be an issue with Audi Field and DC United.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's silly season. This is on the extremely silly side when we're having fields be an issue, but let's get to the normal kind of silly season. LAFC has been very bold in what they have done in this window. Olivier Giroud has already been added, and according to L'Equipe in France, they are pushing hard to sign Antoine Griezmann from Atletico Madrid. They were offering, allegedly, to make him the second highest paid player in the league behind Lionel Messi. Do you think this is a realistic approach? Do you think this is the right kind of a move for LAFC this year?
I think it's realistic based on the fact that Griezmann's been very vocal about Major League Soccer being somewhere that he's interested in at some point in his career. But coming off such a great season with Atletico Madrid, it feels quite early to be making the jump. I know he's still in his early 30s, which is aging these days for a player to an extent in terms of how young they're starting, which is something we're going to get into later, but still has a lot of potential to play at this highest level, clearly. I think for LAFC right now, and there's a great interview on SiriusXM with Hugo Lloris and Tony Andoni, he's talked about how he wants to change the perception of Major League Soccer, how people in France are starting to pay attention to the league, respecting the league. And for Griezmann, if you're seeing these players that you know so well, loving life in LA, enjoying the league, being a little bit more relaxed, but also still being, you know, well-liked, famous. There's lots of the pros, but also some of the easier parts of life that maybe playing in Europe. I could see it being desirable. I also read that perhaps one of the ways they're making it a lucrative deal is with subscriptions to watching the games in France, being a cup for the French players. I mean, it's a good way to grow the league. There will be people turning their eyes on the league. It's an exciting thing for Major League Soccer that players that still are maybe not in their prime, but in around their prime, not too far off. They're not retirement players, as it was always known, are looking at Major League Soccer as an option. But man, Jason, we got to get over the geography at some point with all these big name stars wanting to go live in LA or Miami and start what saying, hey, Charlotte's a good city. Atlanta's a good city. Don't you want to go try live somewhere else?
Atlanta's in the kind of second tier, I think, in terms of being known. And for a Charlotte, for a Minnesota, for an Austin, you know, I think it's a little bit more of a challenge. But New York, LA, Miami, Chicago. Those are the most known cities when you talk about
it. It's what we grow up hearing about. Like, let's be honest. When we're in England, I would just say it's Los Angeles, it's New York, and it's Florida. Those are the three places, you know, whether it's Disney, it's New York Times Square, and it's LA by the beach, the cool surfers. Like, yes, do I sound ignorant right now that I'm educated about America? Of course I do. But that's where the media takes you, and that's the exposure that you have. So LA Galaxy, LAFC, into Miami with Messi, they all have advantages geographically that other teams don't have. So other teams are going to have to find ways to make themselves desirable too.
Yeah, you have to work at it. I think Atlanta is... being in an international city, being a former Olympic host, those kinds of things. And what people are seeing with Atlanta United at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, like, I think you're attracting up to a pretty high level of player. You know, could you make a swing at somebody like a Griezmann in Atlanta? It'd be very, very interesting. It's against the model. And that's kind of what I wanted to end this spot with. There's a lot of different ways to build a team right now in this league. And I think the rule changes that went down ahead of this window offer even more flexibility than we've ever seen. You can go what LAFC is doing now, which is a little different than what they did off the jump. You know, they went kind of a hybrid, a little younger, a little older with their top guys. Now they've went a little older. They went a good bit older. And you have guys from France who are all coming together, who know one another, obviously, and are adding a lot of talent to a really good core if they get the Griezmann deal done. We've seen other clubs go in different directions. Miami has went older, but then very young around it. You've seen some clubs that have developed internally. You've seen clubs that have went for a different kind of range. And then you see some like a Columbus who are more about the soccer fit than anything else. So it's a good spot for the league to be in. I know we like to label everything and put boxes on everything and walls. It's okay for some clubs to go sign guys like Antoine Griezmann. And it's okay for clubs to go sign a Lionel Messi. Obviously, that's paid off really well. Hugo Lloris, you know, you could go get Olivier Giroud. You can go get these guys that still have something to give. You have to get the right older players who come with the right mindset, aren't here just for a paycheck, but are here to win. And if they're 35, 36, and they're here to win, and they play well, and they help grow the game, more power to them. Come, join, be part of this league. And you can go get younger players as well. It doesn't have to be an either or. It can be market by market, and it can be club by club, and what that team needs to be successful.
Well, the perfect transition from older players to younger players. And we want to focus right now on that youth movement from Major League Soccer, the growth of the academy system, and the pathway to pro that is ever-changing in American soccer. Obviously, we talked a lot about Kevin Sullivan, the 14-year-old Philadelphia Union midfielder who became the youngest ever Major League Soccer player. He was 14 years, 293 days old when he debuted for the Philadelphia Union, breaking the record by Freddie Adu. But we've seen someone go one step further last weekend, and that was in NWSL when McKenna Witham made a debut for Gotham FC and became the youngest professional player in any of the top US soccer leagues, 14 years old. And just a couple of days, if I remember off the top of my head, she'd recently had a birthday. Jason, this just tells you now that American soccer is starting to maybe mirror a little bit more what you see overseas with if you're good enough, you're old enough, and also the way that academies are developing players to get them ready to develop for professional leagues versus the traditional going to college to get that experience.
There's a ton of different pathways, and that's the good thing about this is some players aren't ready at 14. Most aren't ready at 14. A lot aren't ready at 15, 16, 17. Some aren't ready until they're 22. Some need to go to college. Some need to go to a smaller club first. And we're seeing those pathways emerge, like a Diego Luna going to El Paso before coming into MLS. There needs to be multiple ways for players to become as successful as they can be. You never know when someone's going to hit their prime and be ready to play at the highest level. You know, Kevin Sullivan, McKenna Witham, they've gotten their debuts. Okay, that's the door opening. Now, can they continue to get minutes and contribute at that level? And that's the hardest thing, is developing that consistency. I just love that these are kids that have now grown up in a country that they have known nothing but the opportunity to potentially play professionally. And maybe that's, I think maybe the growth is more on the women's side, because you haven't seen players skip college in the U.S. very, very often. I mean, we're talking just a handful of players who didn't play in college before going pro. Now you're starting to see that become not common, but at least more possible. And it, again, it gives more pathways. So if you're a kid now, if you're a parent out there now, and your kid is talented, they could go into a pro academy at a young age. They could go to college. Both are very possible routes for success. And I just love that you're getting this much variety in it.
Yeah, Jason, I think one of the biggest things is, I talked about this on SiriusXM, and we used Lindsey Horan as one of those examples of a rare
one
player
of the rare.
That skipped. Yeah. And when you watch her play, there's just a different level of soccer IQ, a different level of physicality, a different level of understanding. And she got that earlier because of that experience of going overseas and developing against women at a younger age. And as you said, it's not for everybody. And I want to make that clear. We're huge advocates of college soccer. We love calling college soccer, and that still very much has a place. It doesn't have to be a competition. There's going to be many a player that utilize college soccer as a pathway, but it's very exciting to see if a player is ready, they do have that opportunity to shine, an opportunity to step into that spotlight. And I think it's a great sign for the growth of the game on both the women and men's side now, that academies and different soccer leagues are prepping players to an extent that they are ready to make that jump, and that it's not just some PR move, you know, because I think that's very important too. Don't bring a player into this mix just to break a record. Make sure that they are in this team because they're the best player to play in this position and that they deserve minutes. Because the worst thing you want to do is expose a player to this attention and then they never get the opportunity again.
And make sure you're supporting that player on the mental health side, because they're going to be in situations that a lot of 14-year-olds typically are not. So you've got to take care of them in that route, and the physical side. And it's something that, you know, I remember having a conversation about Caleb Wiley specifically as he, you know, made his debut with Atlanta United 2 at 15. And he had some injury issues early on. George Bello had some injury issues early on. And I think the sports science part of it has developed so much now to understand the physical development of these players and how to manage their minutes and manage their workload effectively, because it's different for them. It's different for them than it is for a 25-year-old. like, obviously you're looking at both, but the what can be handled and the kinds of injuries that are possible for young players who are pushing past normal physical activity. It's mm-hmm. something that clubs have to be very aware of. And I think they've gotten a lot better about it, honestly, in the last just couple of years, as they've learned and there's more data and there's more information. You've got to look after these players when they are good enough. I agree. They're old enough to play. But clubs have to remember their age in terms of the level of support that they give them. And that's going to be the key for them to be successful in the long term. One more in the six pack. And this one is a complicated one on multiple levels. It does cross into MLS. And that's why it is part of our MLS six pack this week. John Herdman and his role in the Canadian drone fiasco, Drone Gate. I'm sure there's probably some more clever names for it. This thing is crazy to begin with. John Herdman was the head coach of the Canadian women's national team before transitioning over to the men's national team, before leaving that and joining Toronto FC as their head coach. He's been a very interesting character in MLS this season already, with his accusations in the New York City, another fiasco, I guess, where accusations were made about New York City's manager, Nick Cushing, punching a teenage Toronto player. MLS investigated but did not rule on anything with that. Should Herdman's role, whatever it is, and reporting out of TSN in Canada and other outlets has suggested that it's been pretty involved. Should his role in the Canadian national team drone fiasco affect his position at Toronto FC, in your opinion?
I think it has to, particularly with the fact that he basically came out and lied about his involvement and denied everything and kind of brushed it under the rug. It says a lot about the morality standpoint. It tells you a lot about his accountability and his willingness to put his hands up and admit he's wrong. And as we've talked about, Canada's come out and said they think it might be a systematic issue within the Canadian national team. There's been something that's going on for a very long time. But that also means it's a systematic thing for the coaches involved during that time, that it was something that they relied on, that it was something that they utilized, and it was something that they thought, well, we don't care if we're breaking rules, or we don't care if we're breaking unwritten rules, because as they've come out and talked about a lot as well, maybe it's not written down in sentences, but it's also probably not written down in sentences because nobody ever thought that this was something that people would do.
Yes.
Because it's wrong. You know, it's that unwritten moral code. And the fact that he was clearly very deeply entwined in it and now has come to Major League Soccer. And there's also been some issues in Major League Soccer with claims that have also maybe not been fruitful in terms of, you can get deeper into those weeds. But I think that for me, I'm not trying to be associated with a controversial coach right now that clearly has their hands in the mud. And I think for Toronto right now, they're probably wondering, look, maybe he's made some changes. Maybe the players like him, but is it worth that risk of being associated with someone that now has that asterisk by his name that, okay, he did a good job coaching, but were there some unfair advantages garnished?
Yeah, I think what jumps out to me about this, he at a Toronto press conference ahead of a League's Cup said that he was not involved. He basically
wearing the uniform, correct? Wearing his Toronto gear.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Toronto press conference, and of course he's got to speak on this because it comes out and he's being asked about it. But it's wild to me. He said, I've always gone into Olympic Games, World Cups, big events with integrity in mind and the ability to compete at the highest level, following the rules and processes. So for my side, I'll help Canada Soccer where I can with that review. But I'm highly confident that in my time as a head coach at an Olympic Games or World Cup, we've never been involved in any of those activities. That is a quote. That's from TSN. Like, a few hours after that, Tom Bogert reported at Give Me Sport, he said that John Herdman was aware of drone use to spy on opponents during his time at the Canadian Federation. Six sources with direct knowledge of the situation say. Not one, not two, six.
That's a slam dunk.
That's an issue. Now, it might be in gray areas in the international game, in the Olympics, although the Olympics did punish Canada for this transgression in this Olympic Games. And I wonder if they will be investigating the last Olympic Games where Canada won the gold medal on the women's side and if the validity of that medal is in question. Now, I don't know the Olympic rules. I don't know the World Cup or CONCACAF rules that are involved here, but if this happened in MLS, there is a policy against it. There is a very specific policy. Any club player, coach, or staff member found to have spied on and or recorded another club's player, coach, or staff member in any manner, either directly or indirectly, for the purposes of gaining a competitive advantage shall be sanctioned. That is according to MLS policy. This didn't happen on MLS's watch. This didn't happen at Toronto. But it does bring into question, could it, would it? And it did happen to some degree with some amount of knowledge. There's even been reporting after he spoke to the media and after Tom Bogert's report. There has been reporting after that he was involved in showing a practice on the men's side of Honduras to the Canadian men's national team. If I'm Toronto FC, I'm having to reassess how long I stick with John Herdman. They are 9-14-3 this year. They haven't been great. They've been very up and down. They had the controversy with the NYCFC situation. This has been, even though I was very negative on the hire to begin with, I did not think it would work. I did not think it would last. I did not see Dronegate entering into the conversation. I did not see accusing a fellow manager in the league of punching one of my players and then not having proof of that. Didn't see that enter into the equation. I mean, the fact that he stood up Gonzalo Pineda for a post-game handshake feels like minor things at this point. That was disrespectful. It's an issue. It's just an issue. And I'm surprised that we haven't heard more on the Toronto side about it. I think it's something they're going to have to assess, and it's something they're probably going to have to deal with.
Big decision seems to be the theme of this MLS six-pack, and next week we'll probably have some follow-ups on what's happening with Cucho Hernandez, young players, and maybe even John Herdman. A big decision that's been made on our end, Jason, is that we're now going to be available on the Odyssey app. So make sure you're subscribing wherever you get your podcast, but now you can also consume MLS six-pack on Odyssey. We're so glad you're enjoying this content. It's always a privilege to bring you MLS six-pack here with myself, Jessica Charman, and Jason Longshore. Cheers.
Make sure you recycle, folks.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.